Your home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
When it comes to keeping your car running right, trust the team that's got your back. Big O Tires. Located on State Road 39 in Lebanon, Big O does it all. Oil changes, alignments, tire rotations, brakes, and more. Whether you're prepping for a road trip or just tackling that overdue maintenance, the certified technicians at Big O Tires will get the job done right the first time. Check them out on Facebook for exclusive deals and updates. Next time your vehicle needs a little love, head over to Big O Tires in Lebanon and talk to manager Lauren and owner Alan. Big O Tires is the team you trust.
Looking for free local news that actually feels local? From breaking news and weather alerts to sports, community events, obituaries, photos, and more, your free hometown connection is just a click away with Clinton County, Boone County, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com. Whether you're catching up from your phone at work, your tablet at home, or scrolling on the go, our three daily news websites keep you connected to the stories happening where you live. Check out the community calendars, local sports coverage, Hoosier Land TV, WILO archives, features, and even fun games like crosswords and Sudoku. Plus, with updated features and easy navigation, finding the information you need has never been easier. And did I mention? It's free. Local news, local sports, local people. Updated every day. Visit ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com today.
And they're off. Look at that speed, that style, that weight. What's that behind the pace car?
It's a cargo trailer from TC Trailers, and it's rushing the competition in storage value and sheer trailer goodness.
TC Trailers has over 300 trailers on the lot. Haulers, goosenecks, concessions, everything but the checkered flag.
Need a pit stop? TC's got full in-house repair shop, parts store, and financing that'll have you back on track faster than a tire change.
Zoom over to TC-Trailers.com or cruise out to State Road 28 East of Frankfort. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Listen to all that cash I saved shopping at my local big deal store. I know what you're thinking. Jenny, tell me more. Well, this is a secret I love sharing. Shop your local big deal store from your phone, computer, or tablet for gift certificates at discounted prices. Automotive, pets, retail, groceries, entertainment, outdoor, restaurants, services, travel, health, beauty. It's all there. Shop, and soon you'll be saving, too.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Stoops Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Shoops, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi.
Welcome back to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 1027. Before we get to our next guest, a couple of things happening in the community we need to share with you folks. Celebrating 150 years, the Farmers Bank is having a little bit of a celebration today. So mark your calendar. Actually, it's here. Stop by today and help them celebrate their 150th anniversary. And so you can do that by stopping by. I think they're doing a little something at all of the branches, but I don't know that for 100% sure. I just think I read that somewhere. But anyway, in 1876, Rutherford B. Hayes was elected president of the United States. Heinz introduced its famous ketchup. And the Farmers Bank opened its doors in downtown Frankfort, Indiana. Now, a century and a half later, they're proud to celebrate a milestone few organizations ever reach. So today they're celebrating that milestone, and they're going to have some cake and goodies at the locations. And so you can check that out. Congratulations to the Farmers Bank.
Real quick before you go on, just because you're celebrating, okay? Somebody that is from our area, out where we live, we weren't on the air yesterday, so I couldn't do this yesterday, but Bob Eller. And I know you got to know the name, if nothing else. Enforced celebrated his 100th birthday yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome.
So really cool. I mean, they had a celebration over the weekend for him at the church. But, you know, if you know Bob, send him a birthday card. He would love it. Absolutely love it. So, but anyway, yeah, celebrating his 100th birthday yesterday.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Yep. Awesome. Well, happy birthday from all of us here at WILO and Casper Media. Also, don't forget that today begins the longest day celebration. It's actually a three-day celebration. That's maybe why it's the longest day, because we make it a three-day celebration. This is with our friends at Wesley Manor. And today, this morning at 9 o'clock, until they're sold out, the coffee cart and bake sale will be happening. That is at the Health Center entryway. It is open to the public, so they're inviting everyone to come and enjoy the coffee cart and bake sale at the Health Center entryway. Again, that starts at 9 o'clock. It's just starting right now, and it runs until it's sold out. Then tomorrow, of course, is day two, food and concert. Tomorrow, Cole Woodruff will be in concert. That concert at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Food trucks will be on hand from 10:30 until 1:30. You can join them on the Health Center lawn. You might want to bring your lawn chair. Lawn games will be provided, but that's what's happening on Thursday. And then Friday, there's the Memory Care Picnic. And so if you'd like more details on any of those, call us after the show here, 659-3338. Also, from 6 o'clock until 8 tonight, again, this is going to be weather depending, I'm sure, but fingers crossed that things aren't quite as what they are predicting with the weather, is the block party at Dorner Park. That's 801 South Clay Street. Fun for all ages. It is a family event, and I have loved that they brought these block parties back. I just think that's a neat thing for your community. So if you live in the area of one of those, even if you don't, go enjoy the block party. It's supposed to take place tonight, again, from 6 o'clock until 8, and we'll keep you updated with the weather as well. Also, I thought this was very neat. The small group of Michigantown Christian Church, they're planning a Blessing of the Badges service. This is a project to salute their ever-present help with home-cooked meals for each person that is either a first responder in EMS, law enforcement, and firemen. However, they do need an RSVP for this event, which will take place on July 1st at 6 p.m. There's a musical tribute, stories, and a message to carry our heroes forward. They would like you to RSVP, and you can do that a couple of ways. Again, just contact us here at the station or get with somebody you might know from the Michigantown Christian Church. They're planning this, and again, it's for area first responders and EMS, law enforcement, and firemen. So you do have to RSVP by June 25th, and then the dinner is going to be on July 1st at 6 p.m. But I thought that was awfully nice of them to come up with this idea and to do that, so I wanted to share that as well.
All right. Our guest is on the line. We want to get to her, and we'll discuss weather afterwards.
At the end, yes.
Yeah, before we get off the air.
I think we're going to have to go home and take a nap before we...
Yeah,
that's what I'm afraid of.
I think it's going to be a long night,
I do too.
I'm afraid. So, but anyway, Kirsten Walmsley, local history librarian and museum coordinator in Thorntown. Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay this morning. Now, just like you said, this afternoon and tonight, whew, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I don't blame you, but we just tell everybody, keep listening, keep streaming. If you don't have
Absolutely.
The WILO app, you can always stream us, but, you know, we will be here for you regardless. And so just giving everybody a heads up.
Yes, and you cannot say that enough. That is for sure. Yes. No. Have a way to get your warnings, no matter what way it is. Have a way. Even if it's YouTube, get those warnings.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Definitely. Two ways. Always have two ways, is what they
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
Well, you got a lot going on, girl. I mean, come on. The library's ridiculous, the schedule, that's it. But that's only part of what you've got going on.
Yeah.
Can I be a teen for the tasting contest? Is that tonight?
I've asked that same question. I can't tell you how many times. I think our teen programs are absolutely incredible. Our youth librarians do such a great job at giving kids something fun to do that keeps them out of trouble, which is, I think, so important in today's society. They're not sitting on their phones. They're coming into the library and they're reading books. They're getting knowledge. They're interacting with each other in person, face-to-face. So it's so great.
Well, that sounds fun. So I hope they enjoy that. That today, by the way, is from 2 o'clock until 3 at the Thorntown Public Library. And story time for toddlers is also today from 3:30 to 4:30. So you do have a lot going on.
It's always fun time at the library. There's always something to do.
For sure, for sure.
Well, I know one of the things that we wanted to talk about is Thorntown has a very unique cemetery, and you guys are going to be you're going to be honoring that soon. And but I was not aware of this cemetery that was even in our area. So
talk
about that.
So Thorntown is home to one of the first African-American settlements in the county, in Boone County. And so what we have, which was established in 1869, what is historically designated as the Colored Cemetery. And for all of you listeners, that is the only time I will call it that, but I wanted to put the historic name out there. So this cemetery, as it's named, was for the African-American settlers in the early days of Boone County. So 1869, that's the first 30 years of the county. Boone County, around that time, had over 100 African-American settlers from the South coming up, including Thorntown had a few freed slaves, some whose husbands had bought their wives their freedom, and so many interesting stories. So the cemetery, which is located on 825 West, just before you get to Old Mill Run Park, you can only see the cemetery by the big blue sign that the Indiana Historical Society put out a few years ago. There are only four stones that are still standing and that are identifiable as gravestones, but none of them are legible anymore. You cannot read them. And so we're working on this project with a descendant of a Boone County Civil War veteran whose family is buried in that cemetery. It was previously believed that Mr. Derrickson, Elijah Derrickson, was buried alongside Alicia Derricks and John Shad in that cemetery. So this was another part of our project. We were trying to figure out, are these three Civil War veterans actually buried here? Well, no. We've since learned in the last year only one of them is. So we are working with this descendant of the family to correct this information and to properly identify who we can factually confirm is buried there. We're going to create a monument that's going to have each of their names on it, but also access to a QR code so that anyone coming by can come in and research the property, research the history of the African-American settlement in Thorntown, research the Quakers who were an instrumental part in making that cemetery and church possible for these folks. So we're going to be out there at the cemetery on Saturday, this Saturday at 1 o'clock, unless it's raining, and then we'll be over at the Heritage Museum. But we're going to be out there to talk more history about the cemetery. The descendant's going to be there to talk about the stories of his family. And let me tell you, his family's got some secrets that are pretty interesting. So it's going to be a great time.
Kirsten Wamsley is the director coordinator of the Thorntown Heritage Museum as well from Thorntown and our guest on Party Line today.
I know, Kirsten, you know, you talk about the African-American settlements that was there in Boone County. Mm-hmm. Do you have or have you been able to find or collect any kind of more information about the actual settlement itself and have it there at the library? Because between the library and the historical society that you have over there, you guys are a wealth of knowledge that none of us knew about.
That's really why this project is so important and kind of a passion project of mine, because you're exactly right. It is a piece that a lot of people don't know. That cemetery is the only remaining evidence we have that the community even existed. We have a few photos of the family in the library and in the museum, and we have documents showing census records and records like that that show, hey, you know, we did have multiple different racial ethnicities in the county and in Thorntown. But what we've learned about the cemetery over the last 10 years is really all we have, and we're still digging deeper and deeper through microfilm and old newspapers and anything we can find to provide all of this information. We have some of it at the library, some of it's at the museum. It's almost identical in both spots, but I'm working on, embellishing those and finding more things. Just a few days ago, I found the only known picture of the AME church, which was built just before the cemetery, but torn down in the 1920s. So that church is completely gone. But I found a picture that has just like five feet of the side of the building, maybe, and that's all we have. So yeah, we have something, but this project is so important, because there's not enough of it to share and show, and it's being forgotten.
Well, I know it was just a few years ago that an Eagle Scout went in and made it his passion project to try and help with some of the restoration there. And I know he said in his thesis that he put together for it was that, you know, he was so disheartened that he was not able to restore those stones enough that you could at least read them. And but I know he helped at least do some restorations out there, so that maybe
absolutely
yeah.
If it wasn't for Reese Thompson, we wouldn't have even had the stones that we can see today. He dug those out, unburied those, cleaned them up so that we can see them. He also was instrumental in getting the fence put around the property so that you can tell where the lines are and it's no longer being hit by farmers. And that's why the cemetery is in the shape that it was, because after that population left and after the Quakers stopped having so much power in that part of the community, farmers had the land, they were tilling it up. There's a rumor there was a hog farm right over the cemetery at one point in time. It was literally just a forgotten corner of the community. And so we are working with Reese. This is the next step of his project that he wanted to do. Through his efforts, Ball State was able to find about 40 known graves on the property. We're really close to having that number of names confirmed. There are so many unknowns. But thanks to Reese's work, we're building off of that. We're working with him to make this next step happen, to create this memorial. So we're just moving further on to the work he already started.
How hard has it been to connect and find family members of some of the folks that are in that cemetery?
It's been over a year's worth of effort to get where we are for what we've learned now. But it goes even beyond that, even more years and years worth of work. Reese started the project in 2016, so that was over 10 years ago. There's not really a good number that I know of, but it's still a learning process. I think 10 years from now, we're still going to be finding new things, because it's so hard. Records are either not recorded or they're forgotten, or census takers at that time could kind of just write whatever. And so if, you know, say a mixed race was living in a home at the time, but the white homeowner answered the door, that whole family would be categorized as white versus maybe they're not. So it's really, really hard to get that full factual confirmation of what is actually went on, where these people actually were. In the case of Elijah Derrickson and Alicia Derricks, because their names are so similar and they both served around our community, they were both listed as being buried in this cemetery. However, Alicia Derricks was a Caucasian man and served for the Caucasian troops. And he is buried in the old cemetery, which is often confused with this cemetery. So the hardest part has been not only figuring out the correct information, but how to correct the incorrect belief things that we've had for years.
And with hardly any stones there that you know of,
mm-hmm.
I know when I was reading about Reese's, everything that he had done to start this project, I found it fascinating that he got with Ball State and they brought drones.
Yes. Ball State was a huge part of everything that we've been able to find out over there. Yeah. They did like a GPS radar or some sort of, I'm not sure the technical term
it's something
of it.
That it penetrates the ground, and that's how they found these graves. It's crazy. I didn't even realize that technology
existed.
So, and I know it's advanced since then, because our friend Adam Shanks at Purdue University has told me he's going to come and help me with one. So
I'd be amazed to see with the changes over the last 10 years, what different we would be able to see if we took that radar out there again. Because right now that research shows possibles, could just be rock formations, could just be grave shafts with nobody in there, so it would be really interesting to see as the technology advances what more we can learn about that ground there.
Kirsten Walmsley is the director coordinator of the Thorntown Heritage Museum.
With the finding out about this, having this cemetery as part of the history of Thorntown,
mm-hmm.
And learning more, and hopefully finding out more about the families that were there and that resided there. Have you learned about any of the challenges that they faced by being an African-American settler at that point in time in Indiana? You would hope that Indiana would have a different mindset than the South, but mm-hmm. at that time you don't know.
A little, actually, and it's only in pieces, and a lot of it has been word of mouth with some of our oldest residents. We have a woman who's lived there her whole life and turned 100 this year. So, talking to people, it's just some of it's assuming, some of it is putting two and two together, but we have learned a lot. I have recently learned that there was a section of town that was referred to as Bucktown, which would have been a spot where those folks would have lived potentially, or hung out. And some of, kids were told you don't go over there, kind of thing. But there's also the same stories of a gentleman named Charlie Derrickson, who walked through the streets singing songs from Kentucky. He was a former slave who bought his wife's freedom and brought her up here, thanks to the folks in Darlington. And he would ride through Thorntown with his wagon and sing songs and preach stories, and kids would just follow him. But then there were also instances, we have photos of the early 1900s, where they were community events, and folks were putting on blackface despite those folks living in here. And I didn't even realize that was a thing in the 1900s. But it is very distinctly obvious in these photos that it is a fake colorization in these black and white photos. So we've kind of gotten a picture of, in some cases, they were accepted as just another person of the community, and others where they weren't at all. By the 1920s, they were completely gone, and with very few remaining in Boone County, they had left. So we can only assume that they were forced to move on because of, mistreatment.
Hmm. Well, Kirsten, we really appreciate you letting us know about this. Again, it's coming up on Saturday, correct? 1 o'clock at the Sugar Creek Historical Society. Again, if rain date, what's happening there, if it would by chance rain?
So the plan is to be out at the cemetery on 625, just before Omo Run. We'll be out at the cemetery on 825 West at 1 o'clock. But if it is raining,
there we go.
We will be at the museum. So we are still going to go on, rain or shine. We'll just move to the museum. And I will be posting on social media if we do end up moving. I want to make sure everyone stays updated, so I will do that to the best of my ability.
Well, and for listeners that might possibly have some family history or
connection,
or any kind of, or might even have an idea of someone who might have some knowledge towards that, mm-hmm. what's the best way for them to get a hold of you to let you know?
Absolutely. You can give me a call over at the library. That number is 765-436-7348. You can always message the Thorntown Public Library or Thorntown Heritage Museum's Facebook pages or Instagram pages. Or you can email me, and that is kwamsley@thorntownpl.org.
Thank you so much. You're always a wealth of information. It's always fun to talk to you and get a little bit of a history lesson and learn more. So we appreciate
Absolutely.
You calling in and letting us know about this. And again, it's tomorrow at 1 o'clock, folks. If you have any questions, we do have the sheet here, and we can give you exact directions if you want to stop by or give us a call after the show. Kirsten, thank you so much. You have a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for letting me share all the history that I've been able to learn.
Oh, we very much enjoy it. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Another quick reminder tomorrow, by the way, at the Thorntown Public Library from 2 o'clock until 3:30 for the children. It's a carnival. So there's a little more fun happening there as well. Like Mel says, they're always busy over there. But, you know, in trying to find things for the kids to do during the summer months,
check out all of our libraries.
Yeah. Have so many cool things. And so tomorrow is a little carnival there at the Thorntown Library from 2 until 3:30.
Yeah, we talked to them. We talked to our Frankfort Library. We talked to our library in Richville, the Kokomo Library. So they all are a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of activities for all the kids. Be weather aware, folks, today, please. As Kirsten mentioned, make sure you have a way to get alerts. Don't rely just solely on your cell phone, because if the weather does turn bad, those towers may get taken down or may get taken, the service just may be interrupted. Radio is, not to toot our own horn, but I'm sorry, radio is one of the best bets when you're looking at severe weather coverage and getting those alerts from the National Weather Service. So have a radio where you can listen to it, even, in the background, whatever, so you get those alerts. If the weather does turn severe, we will be here. We will be live. And one of our weather experts is on the phone right this minute.
Guessing that would be Mr. Russ Casper.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Russ.
Hey,
I love
good
it.
Morning.
She says one of our weather experts. Really, that's got to be Russ.
Yeah. Well, I got Mayor Judy Sheet's story up on Clinton County Daily News already on the splash pad. I put that up. And that was an interesting interview. And I wanted to read you, for what it's worth, the aviation forecast for the Frankfort Airport for today. Now, these tend to be pretty darn accurate because people are flying planes depending on these reports. So it looks like we'll start the day at 2 p.m. We're going to get light rain, thunderstorms, and wind could be 10 to 19 knots. So that's about, 15 to 25 miles an hour, give or take. That's starting at 2 p.m. today. And the cloud level is going to start to lower 3,500 feet for whatever that's worth. And then by 7 o'clock, here's where it gets interesting. According to the Frankfort Airport forecast from the National Weather Service for aviators, the winds will be pretty much out of the south at 16 to 31 knots today. So that's, 20 to 40 miles an hour, give or take. And light rain, thunderstorms, mist with big, cumulonimbus clouds. And that will go on and off until 11 p.m. At 11 p.m., good Lord willing, we're back to 10-knot winds, but the wind will shift out of the west. So it looks like up to 31 knots, which is almost 40 miles an hour. That's according to the aviation, of course. That's why we have reports, because you never know. Bad weather is hard to predict. Good weather is easy to predict.
Yeah, and that from what I read from the National Weather Service, those 40 mile an hour winds will be gusts just in the normal circumstances. But if we have a severe thunderstorm come through inside that storm, they could be anywhere from that 40 to 75 or even higher. The possibility.
I know what you're saying. Under a big cell of some sort.
Yeah, exactly.
A gust front.
They're saying we have the potential for supercells developing. Hopefully not. Hopefully we don't see any of those. But there is that potential. There was actually a supercell last night up in Miami County. So, you know, we, for lack of a better term, dodged a bullet last night for our area, for our listening area. But it did go through Cass County and on into Marion County, or not Marion County, but up around Peru and Marion and that area. Right now, the National Weather Service, what I printed off here that they gave us, we are in a moderate 4. Clinton County is kind of split. The southern two-thirds is in the enhanced 3 category, which is numerous severe storms possible, a few tornadoes, maybe damaging winds and large hail could be a factor as well. The northern third of the county and going on up into Carroll County and parts of Howard County, Tippecanoe County, and on north, widespread severe storms likely. We're in a moderate 4. Strong tornadoes, widespread wind damage, and destructive hail that could be 2 inches or higher. So, I mean, that is the worst-case scenario. It's going to be all timing. We're going to see what happens. Like you said, the first round, we're going to start seeing that rain around 2 and going through to about 7 p.m., and then we'll see the next round, which is the heavy round, the one that they're calling going to be the most severe. Come in after that. So two rounds of storms today. It's not going to be a one and done type deal.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. It'll be, and these things can, I remember once there was a bad weather predicted for Roosevelt, and I didn't take it quite as serious as I should have. And the tornado hit, not Roosevelt, I'm sorry, it was a Greentown area, Greentown. Mm-hmm. And, the tornado wiped out about 6 houses, and it was a bad situation.
Yeah.
I learned my lesson not to underestimate these things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
coming
exactly.
On the heels of our friends in Kirkland who are still cleaning up, and the folks on the Michigantown Blacktop who are still cleaning up in the Avery area.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you, Russ. We appreciate it. And I hope we don't have to talk to you tonight, but I have a feeling we might.
All right. I'll be on call.
Thank you so much. I also want to remind everybody that Big Deals is, you know, Father's Day. Quick reminder, Father's Day, everybody. Don't forget Dad. Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. And Father's Day just kind of gets here, and because we get into summer. Mother's Day is still early in May, and so we're all excited about it. But Father's Day, it's already the heart of summer, and people kind of forget Dad. But go to Big Deals, and you can get an extra 15% off. Use code DAD. But you got to go to Big Deals to do that, and you can do that by going to Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com, or you can just go to WeLoveBigDeals.com. So an extra 15% off with code DAD, and that is today. Melissa and I, come and join me Saturday. I'll be broadcasting live from the Flora Hog Jog, 7:30 to 9:30. And otherwise, Mel and I are headed over to Wesley Manor to enjoy some coffee, cart, and bake sale items at the Health Center. It's going on now until sold out. That is open to the public. So let's wrap it up so we can go. Have a great day, everybody. We appreciate you listening to Party Line.